Wherever you are from, in time and space, welcome. You are listening to the Sovereign Envoys Podcast. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sovereign Envoys Podcast. Today I decided I was going to talk about Xenobots, living robots. If you've seen the news recently, humans have created the first robots out of living cells and dubbed them Xenobots. What does this mean? How did they do it? So they took frog cells, the heart cells and the skin cells of a frog, and they put them together in a certain pattern. And because heart cells contract, you have to have just the right pattern, and that would allow the bot, which is about it's a millimeter or something like that, it's really tiny, allow it to propel itself from one place to another. But because you had to know the exact combination of how to put what where, otherwise you wouldn't get the exact behavior that you wanted, they had to input all the variables in all the combinations into an AI algorithm, into a pretty powerful computer, I guess. I don't know, something like 3D, like the Game of Life, if you've ever heard of that one. Not the board game, but can't remember what it is. The one where you can make like 2D squares, and if you have them in certain positions, they'll eat each other. The AI algorithm, I don't know if you even know what I'm talking about, but the AI algorithm looks like a 3D version of that. So, funnily enough, and it takes all the ways that all the different combinations that they could make, what kind of behaviors would be exhibited by those combinations. So after running all these simulations, they started to put these things together, and I guess they had to put them together by hand. So I don't know how they were taking the cells and just scraping them together and putting them together, because cells will stick together, but they were putting them together and they were just sticking together. That's what it sounded like. So bizarre idea, but what they ended up getting were cells that were able to together create movements in these Xenobots, which would either go back and forth or, you know, around in a circle, and there's a few different shapes that I saw in the article. But that was interesting. So they are basically like robots. How is that a robot? Well, it's something that we created out of materials that we've manipulated, just like a regular robot. But on this occasion, it was a material that's got living pieces already in it, which is kind of bizarre. So we didn't create life. We just created a robot out of life. So I don't know. They're calling them Xenobots. Let's see. Some of the stranger things that happened were there were emergent behaviors. We've talked about this a little bit when we were trying to understand a little bit about consciousness and you know, multicellular organisms. They kind of act a little bit different together than what you might expect the individual organism by itself to act. Like ants in a colony seem to have a mind of its own, cells together that have learned how to work together, they end up making up multicellular organisms. Well, some of the emergent behaviors in these Xenobots were kind of interesting. Some of them would go in patterns that weren't predetermined by the AI. So like instead of just going straight, one would turn back around and go back to where it came from, almost like it had a mind of its own. Some of them, they would go find other versions, like other xenobots in the same petri dish and grab them and then go around with them. So who knows what's going on with these emergent behaviors, if that's something that's to be expected when we're building robots, if that's something that we can use to our advantage, if that's something to watch out for. I don't know, because they are making them out of living cells, and as much as you want to put in into an algorithm, an AI algorithm, what you think is going to come out, it's not like building a building. It's not like you're engineering something out of parts that you can predict 100%. They are living things. So they were also self-healing, which is odd too, because I mean, if you're taking pieces off of the animal and sticking them together in a weird pattern that has a function after you stick them together, the fact that they heal back up when you cut them open or split them in half is kind of startling, to be honest. Because you'd think that the DNA would have a pre-made... Like a framework that it would work on. But so I don't really understand what's happening there. I mean, we can go... These studies have kind of opened up the door to ask more questions rather than answers, but it's definitely interesting. So I thought I'd share with you the whole xenobot thing. I don't know if you guys are into video games, but it kind of reminded me of the word xeno. Was it Xenogears? There was an old game on PlayStation, and it was like I think it was an RPG. You'd jump into a mech warrior-like thing, but I think, I'm not sure if that had anything to do with living robots, but I thought it was fun when I heard xenobots. I was like, oh, that's cool, that reminds me of Xenogears. Although I never got to play that game, I only played the demo of it. It was a fun game. Anyways, getting back on topic here, so yeah, they were self-healing. They lived 7 to 10 days in the environment that they were put in, on the petri dish or whatever it was. So they seem to have a certain amount of time that they can function and persist, which is cool, because that means that there might be a way we can use them for something. Which brings me to the next block thought here, because I'm trying to block my thoughts. I apologize if I sound really if I'm you know. My presentation here is a little bit choppy. I'm not doing a lot of editing, and this is kind of new for me to do a monologue just on my own. So you just, if you like what I'm talking about, if you like my show, just bear with me. This is the beginning of my monologuing experience, and I will get better. But for now, I'm just doing the best I can. This is like the second or third time I've monologued. Anyways. That's what the second season is all about, is getting used to that so I can keep doing it. So what are the implications of this for the future? Apparently, if this works with frog cells, why wouldn't we be able to do it with our own cells? And some of the ideas that were proposed were, well, if we can do it with our own cells, we can make small little bots that could be made up of our own cells, so not get rejected in our own body, and we could use them to clean out, say, plaque from arteries if we can get them to be that complicated. Like right now, they're just two different types of cells. I mean, that's quite a complicated behavior for it to be able to, say, scrape the side of an artery or something until, like, and then, you know, it would have to actually envelop the blockage and digest it so that it could be kind of digested and dispersed into the bloodstream rather than just knocking it off, because then you'd have a big chunk of floating fat floating around, and then if it goes up to your brain or your leg, you'll have a blood clot, right? So it's probably really complicated, but this this is kind of a new technology, and that it opens up the idea that, yes, we can program life forms to do certain things, but the complexity of it will remain to be seen. So, I mean, if you want to imagine, let's go into the future as far as you can. If you can imagine something that could go into your blood veins and eat up all the plaque and digest it into like molecules that can be dispersed and then, you know, ejected through your, you know, kidneys and urine and whatever, so that it's not a problem anymore, you might be able to be 60 years old and have the circulatory system of a child, which would be amazing, or a 20-year-old or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, if it could flush your system, that would be incredible, because it would also increase your brain function and everything. You'd be getting more blood to your brain, and with that, your brain probably wouldn't shrink as you get older, because all those chemicals that go around in your circulatory system, they get slowed down as your circulatory system takes on more plaque and gets hardened, and, you know, that's how you get old, right? So it might be able to extend our life if we're able to master this technology, which is interesting, but let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Who am I kidding? That's what that's what this podcast is all about. The first part is about a little bit of science, and then the second part is just what can we think of with that? Because it's stretch your imagination. That's why we're here, right? So cleaning out the circulatory system with plaque, cleaning it out so you don't get hemorrhages. UFO connections or other weird stuff. Maybe I was thinking about it. I was like, well, you know, if this is a technology that's legit, maybe it's possible that this was done in the past by maybe another civilization, and we're going to go out on a limb here and say it's possible that you could probably seed life on another planet with xenobots, especially if you were able to do it at a DNA level, if you took genetic engineering to such a degree that you could make a xenobot, and also have the information in its genetics set up so that maybe, you know, at the beginning of its evolution, it takes on the form of, you know, a simple multicellular organism, and as the environment slowly became more of what it's supposed to unfold out into, like if you have more sun on a flower, it'll grow bigger, kind of thing, or it'll become more complicated as the environment is changes with it. So what I'm trying to say is, if you had a whole bunch of xenobots on a planet that were just basic cells, and then you engineered all the genetics in them so that, okay, the first xenobots that are going to multiply are going to be the plants, because they're going to be the ones to change the atmosphere. And then after that, it'll trigger something in the genetics of other xenobots, which will come out to be animals, and then they'll, you know, eat the plants, and then it'll trigger, once you have enough oxygen, it'll trigger something for the animals to come up onto land after the plants have, and then you just have like triggers set up in the DNA. And then if you're a civilization that can do that to a planet, you could basically come back every, you know, set of time, like every couple million of years or whatever, just to tweak it to see how your babies are doing. And I was thinking, well, you know, maybe what if we're that product of some other civilization? What if we're the children? And maybe that's why we have such big brains and can build things and make spaceships and go out into space. What if these UFOs that we're seeing are basically our creators? What if they go around seeding life on a whole bunch of planets? What if, like the last episode, our DNA was some kind of antenna that was allowing creatures from like another plane or reality to reincarnate and pick up that radio station of that being, like your soul or whatever. And this is going out on a limb, so if you're still with me, you're still with me. So let's say that this other civilization that flies through space or in other dimensions or other planes in the UFOs, their technology could be so far beyond matter. It could be they live in another plane. They could be making machines out of light now, and they go around seeding physical worlds so that the physical worlds can grow different shaped vessels and different vehicles for basically this spirit to have experience as different life forms. But you know, we could never know that for sure. I'm just talking out of my ass here. But if you like it, then stay tuned for more episodes from the Sovereign Envoys, and I hope you like this episode. If you enjoy what I'm doing here, you're welcome to be a sponsor or whatever that is. You just go to the site. I think you click on the link. You can figure it out yourself for now until I know exactly what to say. I don't have a chunk of words that I can explain to you what I was going to get at with that. Anyways, I mean, if you want to donate, there's a way to do it through anchor.fm. But if not, doesn't matter. Just listen and share this with your friends. Hopefully they get better and better. And I'll see you guys next time. Sorry for the terrible outro. You'll have to forgive me, but I do enjoy this, and just let me know that you guys enjoy it. You can also send me messages. Just go to anchor.fm and find the Sovereign Envoys on anchor.fm, and you can also send me, I think, up to a minute of audio message that I can play in these episodes, and I'd love to hear from you. If you guys ever want to come on the show, you can send me an audio message letting me know. You can find me on the r/UFO Discord server. Go check out the subreddit r/UFO. Kiwi Bonga is an awesome moderator. He's made an awesome community over there, and so I want to give a shout out to them. They support me a lot with just, you know, emotional support, because making a podcast by yourself is not easy. So they're a great help, just being there when I say, oh man, so-and-so on Facebook said my show sucks, and then they're just great friends, and then they talk me up, and then I feel better. So thank you guys, thank you Theory QED, thank you Kiwi Bonga, and thank you all for listening. I appreciate it. Cheers.